managing data is more important now than ever before. In this episode of Move Your Assets, pavement data expert Chris Newsom and I talk about the ways agencies can more effectively gather and utilize their pavement management data. Transportation infrastructure. It's what keeps our economy moving and gets people safely where they need to go. But maintaining safe, reliable infrastructure assets is a complex challenge that requires innovative solutions. I'm Nick Frank from Agile Assets, and I'll be your guide as we navigate through the complex and evolving world of infrastructure asset management. Every episode, you'll discover best practices, industry trends, and agency success stories that will help you improve your asset management strategies and get the most from your infrastructure funding. You'll learn how to save time, save money, and save lives while delivering safer, longer-lasting transportation networks. My guest today is Agile Assets Senior Consultant Chris Newsom. Chris works with agencies around the world to improve the performance of their transportation networks. He's a pavement management expert with more than 25 years of experience in conducting, managing, and analyzing pavement condition surveys to improve roadway performance. For years, Chris was the pavement data lead at Highways England, where he was responsible for its pavement management system and the use of pavement data throughout the organization. Chris, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, good afternoon, Nick.
For you, afternoon. For me, morning. It'll be a fun experience. Chris, first of all, just tell me a little bit about your role at Agile Assets.
My role is really to help sort of new and existing clients make the most of their Agile Assets software to maximize the effects of their budget in maintaining their networks.
Chris, we're at this time in this era where data is extremely important. And, you know, being able to analyze that data and efficiently use the stuff that you have. For you as someone who is a data analysis guy, a tech guy, you know, what are the challenges of gathering not just data, but good data?
Yeah, if you're coming from nowhere, then data collection can seem like, you know, a big expense and a big effort. But there's a saying in the geotechnical world that you pay for a ground investigation, whether you do an investigation or not. You know, you can spend the money doing the investigation and that can save you money down the line. And I think that applies to the pavement world as well. So yeah, having the right data enables you to make the right decisions, you know, informed decisions, and you can plan for maintenance, which saves money in the long run. We all know that reactive maintenance costs significantly more than planned maintenance. So if you have the data to be able to plan, you save yourself a lot of money.
Why do you think at this point in time that data is a major issue for some organizations?
I think there's some organizations out there see the cost of data collection and analyzing the data as coming straight off their bottom line of you know, what they can spend on maintenance. But I think, you know, making that investment into data, into analyzing the data, does save you money in the long run.
It's that initial investment that might sometimes be tough to plunge in.
Yeah, and that's definitely it. It's the initial investment. And, you know, it takes a little bit of effort on staff time and things like that. But, you know, it pays dividends in the long run.
So is there a difference on, you know, when you're collecting data in your network based on large highways versus, you know, city streets? Is there a difference in there in how you collect your data?
Oh, God, yeah. different networks have different maintenance requirements. You know, you're going to be doing different maintenance on an expressway than you are a little residential street. The type of data that you collect is going to be different. What you do with it is going to be different. But it's making use of that data in the best way to manage your different networks. And I guess you have to consider, you know, what's important to the customer on that network as well. The road user is going to be wanting a different level of sort of quality of pavement on an expressway as they are going to be on a residential street where they're traveling slower. So, yeah, I think you have to sort of collect the data that you're going to be able to use to maintain your type of asset.
Whether you're a small organization, a large organization, how can an agency use this data? So now they've got it, you know, they've actually got this quality data. How do they use all that to their fullest?
there's two strands to this, or multiple strands to this. The first one is really to give senior decision makers the information they need. So that ability to report. They want to see things on a map. They want to see dashboards. They want indicators. They don't want to get bogged down into the sort of the detail of all the individual condition parameters. So we kind of need to have that there. But then for the engineers, they will want that level of detail, and they can then analyze it to project maintenance requirements. They can project, you know, if you give me this money, this is going to be the condition of the network, or if I need to meet a minimum level of condition for the network, this is how much money I'm going to need. So yeah, different people within the organization are going to need different things from the data. And the good thing is, you know, once you've got this data, you can analyze it, and you then have a really, really good evidence base. So you've got evidence to justify all of your decisions. So not only can you use that evidence to get more money, but if you're standing up in court, you have the evidence behind that's objective evidence to put a staunch defense.
And I think that's probably one of the most important points that you just made right there, which is, you know, so many organizations, agencies, no matter how big or small, the struggle is there's only so much in your pool of money. And so being able to show that, hey, yes, here's our data to back up why we need this extra $2 million. Here's the data that backs it up. It's probably extremely valuable for these agencies to have that useful data.
I was just going to add, and the other thing, by having the data and using it to plan your maintenance, you know, you can optimize your maintenance. No longer are you following a worst first scenario, spending all your money just on a few short lengths of network that need treating. You know, through the optimization, you can treat a lot more network, do those projects that get the best return on investment. And there was an example I'd made a note of, and there was one of our clients, by sort of moving from their worst first scenario that they were following into an optimized route or route, if you're in the US, they ended up treating 95% more length of the road over a 10-year period. And that makes a real difference into the quality of your network and what the you know, the taxpayers are seeing.
And I think a lot of agencies struggle with that idea, or maybe not struggle with it. They probably know they need to move away from worst first, but they might not have the ability to do it. And just saying 95% better over 10 years is crazy. Like that's nuts. We have the data, you know, we're starting to use it, and we're starting to pour in all this data. And sometimes it's more than maybe what you can handle. You know, you might only have a staff of a few people and you've got all these numbers and you might not know what to do with all of them. When you break it down, what are the few data points that every agency just must have?
So I'm going to give a little bit of a sort of a cop-out answer on this. So I'm going to say, you know, an agency should collect the data that enables them to effectively manage their network. Mm-hmm. And that, again, goes back to a national road agency has a different network to a city or a county. So it's getting the right data that enables you to maintain your network. So an expressway, they'll want ride quality, they'll want cracking, they'll want texture, friction, deflection, structural strength, whereas a city might not need all of those. And it's just determining what is suitable for you. And that goes with, you know, what have you got in your toolbox for maintenance? Because there's no point in collecting data that can't influence decisions. So what you collect has to influence decisions. And then again, you know, I think where we're getting more and more intelligent agencies, you know, they're taking a more customer focused perspective. So, you know, they're collecting additional data that influences more the customer feelings. You know, we've spent a long time concentrating on the engineering aspects, and the customers don't necessarily know that. They want things that can influence them. They want a comfortable journey. So, you know, ride quality is going to be important to them. Noise, if you're on an expressway, they probably want a low noise surface. So, you know, that should be considered. So as all of these things have to be thought about and all come together to determine, you know, the data that you really must collect.
So what you're saying is there's no one size fits all for everyone.
No one size fits all.
You know, like you said, it's especially for getting good data, there's a lot more work on the front end and it pays off in the back end. I'm sure it's just as valuable to figure out, okay, what are our most important data points? Let's figure that out first before we just dive headfirst into all of this.
And that's a good sort of introduction. If you're coming from nowhere, just collects, you know, a few key condition parameters, and then you can just build from that as you get the intelligence, as you get the confidence, and you can just keep adding and adding and adding, and then gradually evolve into a high performing agency.
Talking more about data, because I think individuals who are in this industry probably enjoyed looking at numbers and being able to really figure out, okay, what is the best way to do this? From your experience, is it important to have a standard, you could say, definition for metrics and data? Is that an important thing?
Yes, very, very much so. You know, your survey contractor needs to know what they're collecting to meet your requirements. But also it's a case of you want to be making sure you're collecting the same data to the same sort of quality and the same algorithms are being applied. Because ultimately you want to compare apples with apples. You want to compare project A to project B. And you need the data to be the same to do this. And yeah, and this may be on a sort of a region to region basis, or it may be sort of year on year basis. Again, you need to consider you don't want to be stuck with outdated measures, whereas technology and what you can measure moves on and the accuracy changes. But you need a plan how you're going to incorporate these changes into your metrics. It may be a step change, but you may need to understand the differences so you can understand these step changes, or you may want to run things side by side as you evolve.
So keeping things consistent throughout is obviously going to probably help make you more efficient as well.
Yeah.
Within your own state, there's, you know, the cities and counties talking to each other going, hey, what are you doing? What are we doing? How important is it, do you think, for organizations to be willing to share their data with other organizations?
So I guess there's two elements to this question. There's the first is sort of sharing experiences and between organizations. I think that's very good because everyone can learn from each other. There's also the data itself. So sharing data within an organization is just plain good common sense. You know, there's a few things that make that a bit tricky. You know, how easy is it to share data between an organization? You know, pavement management will have one system, structures will have another, they can't talk to each other. That makes sharing data tricky. And you know, the functionality might not be there to share the data. Obviously, if you can get something customizable APIs so the systems can talk to each other, things on the same sort of reference system, so there's no point in one having a linear, one having a XY system. They need to be able to talk to each other, so you need everything geo-referenced. So yeah, it's very important to share data, and that gives you sort of additional insights that you wouldn't necessarily see if you're in your sort of little silo.
Yeah, you talk about siloed data. What are some of the issues that arise with siloed data?
So some of the issues that arise, I guess, it's A, you're wasting data that has been, it costs a lot of money to collect. You can often collect data multiple times for different reasons. This, not only is there the cost involved, but there's the risk of putting staff onto the network to collect that. So you're putting lives at risk. It gives you additional insights that you might not necessarily seen. But one of the, you know, the key ones, you bridges might be doing a project, and then pavement might want to do a project a bit later on. And if you can combine those projects, you know, you're only closing the road once. Yes, you're saving money on traffic management. You're minimizing disruption to the road user. There's always good things that can come from sharing data.
The efficiency, saving money, saving time. And at the end, you know, the overarching goal of, you know, saving lives as well. Final topic on our data is the ability to ensure good data. There's a point of, okay, getting data in, but there's also the challenge of getting good data. And so what are some ways that you found that you can ensure that data integrity to make sure it's good quality data?
I'm gonna sort of really talk a bit, you know, from my experience. So, sure. You know, before I moved into the sort of using the data, I was a data collector and was heavily involved in going through some of the processes that we have here in the UK. So yeah, the first one is I'm gonna use a survey vehicle, you know, chock full of lasers. Use that as an example. We need to make sure that the sensors are collecting correctly. So that's measuring over known ride quality areas. So in one of the accreditations I used to have to do was a zigzag of a metal plate where the height of everything was known on all of the raised bumps, and the height of the dips was known, and we'd run over and we'd look at the raw ride quality data to measure if the metal plate was 10 millimeters high, the laser measured 10 millimeters high. So there's that first bit of making sure the equipment's measuring properly. Then the next step is, you know, the survey contractor has to take this data. They have to apply filters to it, algorithms to it, to actually come up with the reported value. So the next step is to make sure those algorithms are working correctly and give the expected output from that. And then, you know, you're comparing to the ground truth, as I said. So, you know, we need to know what that ground truth is. So it's making sure the equipment's collecting properly, the data's being processed properly, and the output is as expected. And, you know, I've spent a lot of my career working under, you know, accreditation processes where you have to get accredited through an independent party to prove your equipment's working fine. So that's the first step of getting that data integrity. And the other bit as well is, you know, yes, there's laser-based automated surveys, but there's still, you know, a need for visual surveys. So again, we need to know that surveyor A is looking at the same road as, or in the same way as surveyor B, and they come up with pretty much the same survey. So that's another accreditation, is getting the surveyors trained and they can record things properly. Following on from that, we then have, you know, your asset management systems. They will take that data and they will do various calculations and consolidating the data. So you need to have sort of transparency that they're working properly. And when you're calculating an indicator, that's calculating it properly. So there needs to be that assurance that the systems are calculating everything as well. And there's just sort of something else I want to briefly touch on here as well, is, you know, into a pavement management system, what the pavement's made of, the construction records are really, really important. That changes the decisions you make. As we sort of move on into this technological world, instead of having people on site scribbling, laying records on bits of paper when maintenance projects are being done, they, you know, there's now systems that can automate all of that. And that can also feed into the pavement management systems. So we're kind of reducing the impact of human error there. Right. So the data that comes in is, you know, is automated, it's assured, we know it's right, and there's nothing for a human to mess up.
Chris, I think I'm going to have to bring you on again at some other point just to talk about data integrity and just to dive deeper into...
Oh, I can waste hours and hours talking about specifics of accreditation for lasers for IRI and ride quality and transverse profile and things like that.
I think we'll have to set up another time to talk about that, because I know it's another topic you're passionate about. If you want to learn more about how your agency can improve its pavement management data process, head on over to agileassets.com. Please subscribe to the podcast wherever you're listening and leave us a review. And finally, thank you again to Chris Newsom for sharing his knowledge with us today. I'm Nick Frank. Join us again next time for another episode of Move Your Assets.